You brought us out of darkness. You made us stand in the light. Only you could have done this, Jesus. With a grateful love, we lift our hands to you. Can we do it just one more time? Abba, Abba. He's the source of our lives, source of our strength. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. He's our rock and our salvation. Go ahead and just declare his praise in this house, wherever you are. Go ahead, declare his praise. Let the fruit of your lips rise to him. He deserves it. He deserves it. Come on, let the worship of him rise from your heart. Let it rise from the depth of your heart. Ooh. Daddy, we love you. Sing it over and over again. You are the reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me. With your voice is lifted high. You are the reason I live. You're the one for me. Yes. You're the one for me. You can sing it one more time. You are Lord. You are the reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me. So we declare, hey, why should I fear when I have you? Surrounded by your love, your everlasting love. Hey, why should I care what people say? They don't know who you are to me. Why should I fear when I have you, oh Lord, surrounded by your love, your everlasting love? Why should I care what people say? They don't know who you are to me. Go ahead and declare, he's your savior, your redeemer, he's your comforter, your strengthener,
is everything to you. Come on, declare it wherever you are, for you know who he is to you. He's the source of your life. He's the source of everything. Even if everybody doesn't know, you know, you know, you know, you know who he is to you. Go ahead and declare it. You are my rock, you are my salvation, Lord. Why should I care what people say? They don't know who you are to me. Say, why should I fear when I have you surrounded by your love? To your Father, let your worship rise. I love the way you love me, Father. Yes, yes, unconditional love of the Father.
Hallelujah.
your hands lifted high, singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. With one voice in your head, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You've given us victory. For hearing is our faith declared, oh Father. For you cause us to be victorious. Hallelujah. We are the lovers of God. Sing forever and ever. But no matter what we face, we know that you, God, are good to us. Come on, somebody, let the song of victory rise from you. For you are victorious in every season. Devil cannot overcome you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Please just say with me, I have illumination. I have revelation. I have understanding. The word of God is clear to me right now. Yeah. Been a while we said that, right? I just thought I should, so that just get yourself in that mood, because we're learning how faith works. We're learning what faith is. There's the textbook ideal, you know, maybe Word of Faith textbook way of doing it. But I'm coming at it, still same thing, just tweaking around, but most of my things you're going to get the point. Last Sunday was awesome. I would love that you hear last Wednesday, last Sunday. Again, guys, just listen to them again. I mean, Wednesday's teaching is just about 45 minutes and Sunday is just about an hour. I mean, it will bless you. Just will bless you. Will bless you. Just listen to the teachings and then get blessed. And the worship sessions are also beautiful. So just enjoy the entire service and just flow with it. All right. So we touched something on Sunday and then there's a need for us to build up on it and it would, strengthen you. So I'm going to go to Hebrews 11 and the first verse. I'm sure you remember Hebrews 11 verse 1. I mean, when you tell people, so what is faith? Everybody just starts with Hebrews 11. 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So what really, are we to pick out from there? What would we be picking out from there today so that we can get the most of what God will have us get from it? So Hebrews 11, 1. Allow me read a couple of Bible versions on this. Okay. So King James, obviously. All right. Says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, well, for some, it's maybe a definition of what faith is. I believe it just is descriptive, all right, of the operation of faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, because it's not enough to say, oh, I can define it. No, is it, do you understand the operational method? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Two words, substance, evidence. Substance, evidence. Substance, evidence. I mean, you're explaining something to someone and the person says, oh, you need to substantiate your claim, right? They need more facts. They need proof, all right? You need to substantiate what you're saying. I mean, I hear you, but hey, show me, all right? You need an alibi. You need something, all right? So substance. When you are asked for substance, you, humanly speaking, get the gist. Someone needs proof. Someone needs something more than just this. All right. And then when you say evidence, all right, if it's in the courtroom, you want to see the document that was signed. You want to see the video that showed, the person had a meeting with the sets of people. You want to, you know, play the audio, all right, of maybe the phone conversation. You want to do something. You want proof. You want evidence. So it's not, you know, it now goes beyond his words against my words. It's now, I'm not just, you know, using words against words. I have proof. All right. My Lord, you know, evidence A, B, C, D, E to show that this client, you know, bought XYZ from my client and then blah, 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 you know, happened. You get the point. Bible now says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That means somehow, and really more than somehow, God is telling you and I that faith is real. Okay? Faith is real. But it obviously isn't real in the physical realm, but it is real. Please get this. Faith is real. Let me read NIV. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It uses two words now. Confidence. Assurance. I'm hoping for something, but I'm confident. Who does that? All right. How do you become confident in something you hope for? What if your hopes are dashed? What if you're disappointed? All right. But this backtracks a bit to, you must understand the character of the person who made you the promise. I said that last week when I used the example of a check. And then you come to your friends and say, hey, I got XYZ amount of money. And they say, how'd you get it? And then you show them check and everybody goes, ooh, like, see, this is awesome. All right. They won't say, hey, better get to the bank and cash the check. All right. They won't say that if they trust the character of the person, if the character of that person is not questionable. But if it is, hey, scam, go back first until the money land, man. You know, and then, hey, but if the character of the person is not in question, Let's see the 11th verse of this same Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:11 says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Allow me read that again. By faith, even Sarah, who had passed childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So there's something about the character of the person who made the promise. There's something about the character of the person who wrote the check. There's something about the character of the person who spoke the word. Right? I mean, you get to hear, oh, they say concerning people, her word is her bond. All right? They don't go off that, you know? Some just, you know, say it, shake hands over it, and come hell or high water, nothing switches. Because they've trained themselves to keep to their words. And when you meet such people, you don't say, I know you promised me, but can you put it in writing? All right. Now, yes, legally and all of that, you're expected to put things in writing, please. But I'm saying there's where character is not questionable. It is not. And the person dealing with Sarah here is God. But do you know that the same way Sarah judged God faithful, all right, considered him faithful, counted him faithful, some other people don't judge God faithful. They feel, God made me a promise, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That's why the Amplified Version, all right, Amplified Bible, would describe faith as reliance, trust, because that's what it is. And we'll still look at that. Maybe just not this service. All right. You've got to come to terms with, when I say I'm walking by faith, it means I rely on everything God said. I'm a little bit ahead of myself in what I'm dealing with today, but it's fine. All right. I'm relying on what God said. I trust God. I trust Him. I see here and I trust Him. Oh, and I trust Him, and to be to me according to what He has spoken to me. And that's the lesson we see from Abraham. Not just Sarah. That's what we see from everybody here. So let's just get back up to verse 1, because basically what we're learning is faith is the evidence. All right. If you need a title for today, faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence. Now, faith is the confidence, all right, that what we hoped for, rather, faith is a confidence in what we hoped for and the assurance about what we do not see. I mean, people talk about blind faith. No, faith sees. Faith just sees what everybody isn't seeing. Now, humanly, it could be described as blind faith, meaning you're jumping all out into the thing without physically, all right, being able to place your hands on a lot of things. But faith in itself is sight. All right. Faith sees the invisible. Faith sees. He sees it. Faith hears what nobody else is hearing. Faith is hearing God's voice. Faith is hearing from the Spirit. Faith is seeing what the Spirit is saying, and faith is going by it. So faith isn't blind. No, it's to the mind that faith seems blind, because the mind wants to see what faith is seeing, and then the mind argues. How can you say what you are saying is so? I need proof. I need proof. And then your spirit goes, we have all the proof we need. We've got the word of God. Your mind says, I'm not trained like that. Yeah, your mind isn't trained like that, but you have to begin to train your own mind like that. That's why Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To renew that means to reprogram, to retrain. All right. You train your mind to say, mind, to acknowledge is deliberate. That's you training your mind. I need to acknowledge God. You're training your mind. I need to acknowledge God. God said something about this. What do we say? All right. God is saying something about this. What do we do? God is, you're training your mind to say, what does the word say about it? All right. We have to go to the word, mind. We have to go. All right. You don't have to naturally say that way to your mind. But the more you say, what does the word say? You're making your mind go to the word. You see the circumstances. You see what people are saying. You hear the news. You hear the health results. You hear everything all around you by saying, what does the mind say? What does the mind say? What does the mind say? All right. I mean, what does the word say? So your mind says this. I'm scared. Something may go wrong. Something may happen. And the more you allow, listen, your mind sources information from what it hears, from the senses, basically, all right? From what it sees, what it hears, what it feels, what it touches, all right, what it tastes. Your mind sources information from all of that. Basic. It learns. Your spirit doesn't gain information from them. Your spirit walks by revelation. So you now have two people trying to walk together who source information from two different worlds. Someone has to give. All right. Someone has to give way. Something has to give. So if your mind is allowed, all right, you feed your mind more and more, then the things you source from the facts around you will consistently be dominant. But if, irrespective of what you pick from around you, you keep feeding your spirit and then your mind with the Word of God, you keep feeding and feeding and feeding with the Word of God, then this information and the capacity of a spirit is dominant over that matter. It depends on what you feed on. That's really it. Remember, when God appeared to Abraham, and God and Abraham were talking, and Abraham said, "Hey, God, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? And it's this Eliezer of Damascus. That'll be the head of my house." And God said, "Nah, Eliezer will not be the head of your house." And God spoke to Abraham. Guys, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. But Abraham had to. Allow me, okay? I believe someone needs this. I'll get to Romans 4 because I really appreciate the way NIV puts Romans 4, all right? So pick Romans 4 from the 17th verse. So we'll be back on Hebrews because we're learning how that faith is the evidence. So most important things for us to get it. So Romans 4, all right, the 17th verse says, "As it is written, I have made you," this was when Abraham was now 99 years old, all right? But you find two statements here, right? 99 and then, Genesis 15 and then you find, you know, Genesis 17. You know, "And as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father," all right, that's Abraham, "in the sight of God in whom he believed," all right, "the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not." God who gives life to the dead, calls things into being, all right, I don't want to touch that. That's a whole topic on its own, all right, "and then calls things into being that were not." 18 now, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offsprings be." So the word Abraham stood on was, "so shall your offsprings be." All right, that's according to verse 18. According to verse 17, the word Abraham stood on was, "I've made you a father of many nations." Just put the two together. All right. So Abraham heard. Faith comes how? By hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So verse 18 says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offsprings be." 19, "Without weakening," I want you to please pay close attention to 19, "without weakening in his faith, he," that's Abraham, "faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead." I like this. "Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead." Not too many people can mix those two together. Not too many people can face the fact and still not weaken in their faith. Did you get that? Not too many people can face the fact. You find too many believers saying, "Let's face reality. Let's face," and the moment they start touching that button, they are going off the tangent. They move away from God's word. They say, "You put start quoting Bible. Let's face reality." You guys like to say a lot of, the Bible said, and that's what you guys love to say, but let's face reality. This is a fact. Yeah. Okay. Bring out all your facts. Let's face reality. Hey. But like I've had a teacher once, it depends on which reality. Back up to the 18th verse again. It says, "Abraham," all right, "against all hope, in hope, believed." That means there were two kinds of hope. One hope was gone, the other hope was alive. That means the hope in the natural was dead, but there was a supernatural hope in God. Oh, thank you, Lord. That supernatural hope is what keeps you going when everybody wonders, how come she's still succeeding? How come she can still make it? After all the things that happened to her, how come he's still bouncing? There is something supernatural. There's something bigger, something different. There's a higher level of hope. You gotta get this. Same way also when you say reality, there's a physical reality. There's a heavenly reality. There's a physical reality. There's a heavenly reality. So Abraham faced fact, the physical fact. Did you get that? So, bring your facts. Arrange all the things the doctors told you. What have they said? Arrange everything, you know, the government is saying. and how bad it's going to be for your business, and how bad it's going to be for the new company you're about to start. Put everything down. Put everything down about your age and how right now it's going to be really difficult for you to get married. Put your facts down. Stare at those facts and say, this fact will still not make me weak in my faith. Because that's what Abraham did. I need you to see this verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Listen, you know, you need to get this. And I'm doing this, I believe God would want that someone who's afraid of fact, you face it if you have to. Because faith is not denying the fact. You know, some of us don't like to go to see the doctors because you don't want to hear what the doctors are going to say. You don't want to see the doctors. You're just afraid. What if they say it's tuberculosis? The way I've been coughing for a while. Okay, what if it's even COVID-19? All right. Okay, so what if the way I'm acting and I'm weak and all that? What if there's something really worse happening to me? And then you're afraid. Before the sickness, God's word was already settled. When the doctor tells you what he will tell you, it doesn't remove the word. It doesn't remove God from the throne. All right. Listen, nothing changes the word of God. So God is not going to wake up and like, are you serious? Is that what your doctor said? Oh, you know, and then God has to say, oh my God. You know, I mean, God himself is confused. And like, ha, Jesus, with everything he did on the cross. Hey, whoa, see, you know, and then God is shocked. God is like shocked. God cannot help himself because he's like, what went wrong? Like, seriously, what went wrong? Michael, I thought we had everything. Listen, God sits in heaven and laughs. Ha, 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 ha. You remember Psalm 2? He says, why do the nations rage and the people imagine vain things and they set themselves against God and against his anointed one? But he that sits in heaven shall laugh at them. And then you're seated together with him. But God just, ha, ha, ha. Is that what they told you? Hope you remember what I said in my word anyway. You know what I mean? God is not moved by facts. God isn't. No matter how many times they kill the prophets, no matter how many times, you know, God wasn't moved. God doesn't remove who God is. Doesn't remove who God is. Jesus will come and just, and then they will do everything. God is God. Before we were here, when we're gone, or when the earth is over, God will still be God. So let some things be settled in you. Let some things be clear to you. Once again, I need to read. Verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. 20 says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. All right? But was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. 21 says, being fully persuaded that God was able to do what God had promised. This Romans 4:21 is very similar to Hebrews 11:11. Romans 4:21 says, Abraham was fully persuaded that God was able to do, or God had the power to do what God had promised. Bible also says in Hebrews 11:11 that Sarah, King James says, judged God faithful. All right. NIV says Sarah considered God faithful. I mean, that he was able to do what he said he would do. So you need to settle in your mind the character of God. Do you think God, your own heavenly father, do you think, you know, he's wobbly? All right. Bible says with him, there's no variableness. Neither is there a shadow of turning. All right. In James 1:17, with God, there's no variableness. With God, there's no shadow of turning. Meaning, you know, he's constant. All right. He's constant. You don't get this side to there and then he's confused tomorrow. There's no shadow of turning. There's no doubt about it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what was Abraham's evidence? Faith. What is the evidence of a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman? What else do they have but God's word? Oh, thank you, Lord. Listen, God's word is the evidence. I thought you said faith is the evidence. Yes, faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing by the word. So the word is the evidence. All right? Faith is the evidence. Faith comes from the word. The only thing Abraham could stand on was the word of God. Because there will always be the conflict of two realities, two straight up realities. In 2 Kings we find, you know, Elisha, he was about to be arrested, and the king had sent, you know, soldiers to go get him. So his servant went out early in the morning and, hey, I realized that they had been surrounded. And he came back and said, alas, master, all right, we're surrounded. That's 2 Kings, all right, chapter 6, I'll pick it 16 into 17. And then Elisha answered and said to him, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. All right? They that are with us are more than they that are with them. Huh? You see us surrounded. You see two of us standing here. And then you want to tell me nothing's going to go. He said, nope. They that are with us. But glory to God. He keeps his angels charge over us. I mean, learn to speak the word of God. Oh, no matter how many demons are here, we still have an innumerable company of angels. There are more angels than there are demons. There are more angels than there are demons. There are more angels than there are demons. But I know. No. And then that's why you have to understand reality. The word of God is your evidence. Spend time in prayer. Be more conscious of angels. Oh, Bible says, bless the Lord, you angels that excel in strength and hearken to the voice of his word. Angels hearken to the voice of his word. So when you pray and you speak the word of God, angels listen, they hearken, they go about making things happen. Oh yes. There are very many deliverances that you and I do not have an idea of because angels were there to deliver us. Oh, because Psalm tells us, all right, that the angels of God encamp around them that fear him to deliver them. They are always around us. You are kept. You are preserved. Live conscious, please. Live conscious of your angelic protection. Do you understand that now? You and I have got to get this because we've got evidence. So Elisha said, more are they that are with us than they that are with them. Of course, the servant must have been like transfixed. Sir, what did you say? But the 17th verse, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round Elisha. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round Elisha. God opened his eyes. He said, oh, see, we have evidence now. See, oh, sir, we have evidence. Evidence to show that we can ask God to show us angels. Nah. All right. Now, once again, you know, Bible, I talked about the fact that even the devil could come as an angel of light. So the first thing you have to train yourself on is God's word. All right. The next thing, therefore, I remember, you know, something Kenneth Copeland said very many years ago. Angels, ask them, angels remove the pot from the fire for me. And now they could come around and, I mean, there are times when you forget the gas. All right. You forget, turn on off the gas. And then by the time you remember, the gas was turned off. There are so many angelic operations going on around us. All right? But does not mean there need to be appearance if the Lord doesn't deem it fit. Watch that area. But no, please. And I'll explain that better with the next thing, please. All right? So we'll go to John. Let me show you that. But, well, first of all, do you know, okay, Elisha, first of all, operated in the office of a prophet, and prophets were seers. So Elisha, by the office of a prophet, might have seen. All right, you might have seen more than once, maybe not even seen at that time, and just know, I see these things, all right, so I know they are here again today, and I'm always protected, all right? So, I might not see right now, but God, James won't say, well, how can he not see? And then, you know, I mean, I know a dear minister of God, so he preaches a whole lot, and people in his meetings see angels, and he is never, I mean, up until the last time I heard him say this, which was maybe like 3 years ago, he's never seen an angel yet. And then he's ministering, and he just knows, all right, just knows, by word of knowledge, that angels are appearing to people right now. And people start crying. I saw an angel. God is using it to minister to the people, but he just hasn't seen one. All right. And I'm sure some of you might like, I'd like to see one now. Maybe me too, if that quote of, don't get the me too wrong. I mean, it will be, okay, how tall are they? How muscular? How huge? But if the Lord deems it fit. I mean, it's just fantastic. It's just great and glorious. All right. It's just great and glorious. Because they bring messages. All right. They bring messages. You find in Acts chapter 10, an angel appeared to Cornelius. Okay. You find in Acts chapter 27, an angel appeared to, you know, Paul before the shipwreck. So there's the operation of angels even in the New Testament. Do you understand that? An angel was the one that woke Peter up in prison in Acts chapter 12. So angels are real. So there are cases where there are appearances, okay? And then there are cases where there's so much operation and then there's no appearance. Many cars have swerved and then it was angels that blocked it up. Many things have happened and then it was angels. Many things could have really like badly gone wrong. Even many lead-ins, okay? I mean, an angel was the one who told Philip in, you know, Acts chapter 8 to go for a certain road. And then he saw the Ethiopian eunuch coming and then the Holy Ghost told him, join yourself to the chariot. But it was an angel that spoke to him and said, go that way. So hey, angels operate. Angels are functional. Are you getting this? Please, when you pray, yes, you take authority over demonic operations, you bind and cast and all of that, but I need you aware. I've got angels watching over me. You go to bed at night, don't be aware of, demons are around right now. Something, no, I have more angels than there are demons. I have more angels than there are demons. I have more angels than there are demons. Do you understand that? So we'll go quickly now to John, all right, chapter 20, all right, from 24. Jesus had resurrected. He had appeared to his disciples. Okay, so Thomas wasn't there. Then Thomas was told when he got back. So, all right, 24. But Thomas, one of the disciples called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Then the other disciples, all right, said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see. Please note this. Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails, all right, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. All right, Thomas said this point blank. Except I see, I won't believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, all right, in the house, and Thomas was with them. Then Jesus, all right, came, all right, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Imagine not being in the house and then nobody knocked on you down. Someone just shows up in it. Well, peace. Yeah. You know, peace be unto you. 27. Then said he to Thomas, I mean, oh, Jesus is loving. Now, this might not happen every time. It might not happen in every case, but this is Jesus lovingly wanting to help Thomas's doubt. All right. Then said he, Jesus, to Thomas, reach out here your finger and, all right, see my hands. All right. Reach here your hand and thrust it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believing. Don't be faithless, Thomas. Yeah, you said you want to see. So, voila, here I am. See me, touch me now, Thomas. Touch me. All right, feel my hand, feel my side. Are you clear? Are you cool? But Jesus now, all right, verse 28 first. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, and my God, 29, every believer needs to understand, 29, all right? And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me yet have believed. Glory to God, blessed, you know? Yes, and that means blessed are we. We never saw him. We heard the word of truth. We believed it, so we're blessed. This is the evidence. Learning to receive, learning to stay with the word. Faith is the evidence. Faith. So what evidence do you have about your long life? It can just not be, well, in our genes we live long. Thank God for your genes. Glory to God. That means the other person who in their own genes, all right, they don't live as long is rather unfortunate. But the word of God is a common denominator. God's word, God's word, God's word. Bible says, for the same God, the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Alright, whether Jew or Greek, whether Gentile, anybody that calls upon him will be saved. So if you have good genes and then they live long, or you don't seem to have great genes and they don't seem to live long in your family, you can stand on God's word as your evidence. God's word is your evidence. Oh, thank you, Lord. God's word is your evidence. So what's the evidence that you're not going to be sick? What's the evidence that if it's flu season, all right, everybody's catching it. What's the evidence that even if you come close to anybody, all right, with the coronavirus, what's your own evidence? It has to be 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It has to be himself took my infirmities. It has to be. You face the fact that there's coronavirus. But the facing of the fact doesn't weaken your faith. Did you get that? The fact doesn't weaken your faith. You face the fact that the doctor says you have a low sperm count. All right? But the low sperm count does not weaken your faith. You face the fact. But your faith is going. Because there are two realities now, all right? And then you are not moved by until I see. And that's sometimes the issue with things like low sperm count, things like, you know, sickle cell and all of that. All right. Someone says, I'm praying and then my faith is out. All right. So that God will change me from SS to AA. God could wipe all of that out. And each time they run a test, they see as SS. But you're waiting to see. You want to see the result. And like, God, change it. God says, I have. You're like, but God, I cannot see. You're looking at the wrong result. Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know, so maybe AC, maybe AS, maybe S. Oh God, I want it changed. I want it changed. Your evidence is not the printout from the clinic. Your evidence is God's word. Then how am I going to know it's been changed? You have to know by faith. There have been people who have had low sperm counts. I've had two babies after that. All right, someone comes to mind right now. His kids are teenagers, and the last check still showed low sperm count. So who is counting? Which of the counts, guys? So if you look at the fact, you miss the fact, and then you overwhelm yourself with staring too much at the fact, it weakens your faith. When you feed yourself on facts, your facts grow and they become dominant. When you feed yourself on God's word, it will grow in you, it becomes dominant. Beware what you feed on. Beware what you feed on. Please get this. All right. And we need this to learn and to master. Listen to Matthew chapter 8. All right. From verse 4. Then Jesus said unto him, all right. Let's speak from verse 5 rather. Matthew 8 from verse 5. And when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of a palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Jesus obliged. I mean, let me go to your house with you. All right. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said to him, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Speak the word only. Jesus was willing to follow him home and lay hands on the young man. But he said, you know what? Speak the word only. And then he shares the foundation for his revelation. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to this other one, come, and he comes. And to this servant, do this. And, you know, he will do it. All right. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to them that followed him, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. This is a man that understands the command of faith. But the foundation for his revelation is in the army. He has soldiers ahead of him, commanding officers, and then he's a commanding officer over junior soldiers. And then they tell him, hey, and then, yes, sir. And then he says, hey, and they go, yes, sir. And he feels if he works like that in the army, he should work better than that in the kingdom of God. That is a solid revelation. All right. I know some of us are still fighting over when I tell my colleagues something, they need to listen to me. You know, it's good your colleagues listen to you. It's good your children and your spouse will listen to you. All right. It's good, you know, you have your friends believe you and listen to you. But it will be good that the mountain listens to you. Please understand what I'm saying. Because many of us exert too much authority on people that it's not converted. Yes, this man converted it. He converted it from it just being my subordinates listen. And then my commanding officers, I listened to them. He converted it to, that means when Jesus speaks, thinks you listen to him. Ooh, come on, somebody. Convert it. Let's face this one better. Let's so that you can write down the phone, speak to disease and it obeys you. Because there's no distance in the realm of the spirit. Jesus spoke from right where he was and the servant was healed. The man knew that if I exert this amount of authority in the natural, there's something like this in the spirit realm. There must be. There has to be. And Jesus said, this is solid faith. All right? Now, people might have other interpretations about what great faith leadership, but I mean, Jesus said it's solid faith. So guys, it's solid faith. Why? He's evidence. As much as it is wonderful to have faith in the fact that Jesus will come lay hands on you, it is just solid. Super solid to understand the command of faith. Remember Isaiah 55:11? So shall my words be that go forth out of my mouth. They will not return to me void. They will accomplish what I please. They will prosper where I send them. So guys, what is your own evidence? We see Jesus telling, you know, Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen me, yet they believe. They just heard. Thomas heard and said, no, I know you guys are telling me he is alive, he was here. No, I want to see. Jesus said, no, blessed are they who believe and have not seen. Blessed are they who believe and haven't seen. And then the centurion said, the word alone. That's my evidence. I'll be fine with it. The word alone. The word alone. The word alone. Let's train ourselves. Let's train ourselves to be able to say, this time next year. And then it happens. Mark 11:23. Whosoever will say to the mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and will not doubt into his heart, or will not doubt in his heart rather, but believe that the thing which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Guys, you know, the mountain knows who is serious. You know, we all just like to, I spoke to the mountain. The mountain knows who is really speaking. You need to get that. The mountain knows who's joking. The mountain knows who is leaning levered. The mountain knows who is double-minded. Train yourself to convert like the centurion. All right? Train yourself to realize if there's authority in the physical, there has to be greater authority in the spiritual. All right? If there's authority in the physical, there's got to be greater, all right, authority in the spiritual. Let's end, all right? We've left Hebrews. All right? You still remember Hebrews 11? Okay. So I'm going to end on that. All right. Glory, glory to God. Because faith is the substance of things we hope for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, and we're learning what evidence is. All right. This is our evidence. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Hebrews 11:1, I just pick a couple of, versions and then we'll just meditate and then we'll keep it, you know, we'll continue on Sunday. So NIV again says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. All right. Assurance about what we do not see. NLT, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. The evidence. Maybe I'll just stay with the last, the evidence part. The evidence of things we cannot see. Passion Translation. All right. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Please get that. Faith is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. It is still unseen, but faith is all the evidence required. Anybody getting that? It is unseen, but faith is all the evidence required. Faith is all the evidence required. Let me just get to Amplified and then we'll end it up on that. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Faith is the proof of things we do not see. All right. And the conviction of their reality. Faith is the proof. Get this word now. Faith is the proof of the things we do not see. All right. And the conviction of their reality. Proof. Conviction. He now puts in parentheses. Faith perceiving. Faith, right? Perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not, all right, revealed to the senses. Remember I said earlier, there are two realities. There's a physical reality of what's happening to you. There's a reality of God's world and God's kingdom. So faith to perceive as real fact. So while there's a level of fact that says this is what's happening in my body, there's a supernatural faith fact that says this is what I have. The senses don't have it, but I have it by faith. Faith is the evidence. Guys, faith is your check. So once again, as I close, evidence. What's the evidence that you're healed? What's the evidence that you're going to grow from strength to strength? What's the evidence that you never lack? What's the evidence that you'll always be rich and be abundantly provided for? What's the evidence? Even when you take that journey or you take a step, not knowing where things will work out, what's the evidence that everything's going to be fine? What's the evidence? All right? This entire ministry is a product of such evidences. I came to Ijebu Day 2006. All right. Less than 10,000 naira. I had to squat. I had to squat for over a year. All right. Didn't have an accommodation. But there was the evidence from before the ministry began, and God kept on dropping. I remember one time I was meditating on the book of Acts, and it confirmed for me there that I have many people in this city. Don't be afraid. Just that word alone settled my heart. Settled my heart. Acts 18, 9 and 10. Just be not afraid. I have many people in this city. Church hadn't started. Weekly teaching meeting hadn't started. But God gave me evidence. Some say, so how do you know your church will grow? Because I've got evidence. What is it? Acts 18, 9 and 10. Be not afraid. I have many people in the city. Shortly after church began, I went to pay a visit, you know, to some friends at Lagos. And then there was this minister, the man of God there. And I was, oh, Pastor X, man, how's your church doing? You know, you must have blown Ijebu there, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the church was there a few months. And then he asked, I mean, like, what was the attendance today? And I said, 4. You could have seen his eyes, like, eh, like, he wasn't expecting it. And maybe because I was so full of what God has assured me, I wasn't even thinking of having to, you know, people traveled. You know, the way you have to tell a few stories before you give the answer. You know, some people traveled, people were not around, people, no. I said, 4. And I 4. And then he had to adjust and say, I know everything will be fine. I remember that same 2007 when church began, I'll go to a friend's church, you know, and do trainings for them, even teach them on church growth. The people in their own leaders meeting were more than people in the service I left. All right. He was in Lagos and then I was in Ijebu there. The people in the meeting, you know, were more. His own members were more than but I said to them, I said, what I'm teaching, I believe in it so much that give me a few months, I'll come back and tell you church has grown. In 1 year, guys, we're 100 people. 1 year. How? Evidence. People now hear the growth and say, wow, now I believe that God sent you. No, I believed it when it was just a word. Someone says, well, now I believe. See, I can see God. Your God is good to you. No, my God has always been good to me. It's not until you see my baby. My baby is I have my baby as this verse. This is my baby here. Your baby is a verse. None shall lack. None shall be barren. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack anything. I will not lack my baby. If that's all, that's your baby in that one verse. That's your accommodation in that one verse. Oh, glory to God. That's your evidence in that one verse. One verse. It looks tiny, but it's like a grain of a mustard seed. That when you plant it, it will grow. Faith is the evidence. All right. Between now and Sunday when we meet, please, ask yourself, what is my evidence in all these areas of my life? What is my evidence? Because faith is evidence. What is my evidence? I'll build this better. You get it clear on Sunday. Faith is the evidence. Faith is your check that the money is yours. Glory to God. I believe that was helpful. I believe that was good. I believe, you know, you got something right there. So, hey, praise God. Please chew this again and again and again and again and again and again. Just hear it. Let it bless you, right? If you're on Spreaker, download right there. If you're watching on Facebook, you could get on Spreaker and then download it right there and play it again and again. Share with friends. It will help them get your evidence in on Sunday, all right? Yeah. So see you on Sunday. Have a great rest of your week. Amen.